This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. The music you're hearing is a three-person collaboration. First, Jimmy Giuffre, a pioneering clarinetist and band leader who died in April at the age of 86. The second, Rena Schwartz. It's her high heels you hear echoing in the lobby of a Midtown Manhattan office building 50 years ago. And the third is her husband, Tony Schwartz, who made the recording. This is just one of over 30,000 Schwartz recordings. That he recorded so much is all the more remarkable for the constraints under which he did it. Tony Schwartz.
I'm not able to travel far. I have agoraphobia. And in walking, I could just go around my postal zone in the midst of Manhattan. And the postal zone was New York 19 at that time. That was the area I could travel in.
What he lacked in range, he made up in depth, using a new recording device he built himself in 1945.
I made the first portable tape recorder. I brought the VU meter from inside the case to the top so I could look down at it and see how loud things were. I put a strap on it so I could have it over my shoulder. I could go record children in the park doing jump rope rhymes, and I made 14 records for Folkways Records.
When his recorder was mass-produced, he struck a deal with those who bought it. Send me your sounds, and I'll send you mine. And they did. And when he wasn't dealing strictly in sound, he used his ear to inform his other vocation, TV advertising, much of it political. He's best known for the so-called Daisy ad he made for Lyndon Johnson in the 1964 race against Barry Goldwater, that of a young girl pulling off and counting daisy petals, a sound that dissolved into a man counting down to an atomic blast. And that was all just still a small part of Schwartz's extraordinary legacy as a media theorist, author, record producer, Broadway sound designer, advertising exec, and folklorist. Schwartz died on June 15th. In this piece, the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, reflect back on Schwartz and a life spent listening.
Macy's anymore, more, more. There's a big fat policeman at the door, door, door.
I was interested in the sound around us.
Go to Macy's anymore, more, more.
Two things that you're not allowed to carry in taxi cab. One is fish, the other is bedding.
I had a wrist mic. I had a brush lapel mic. And I would put it on a wristwatch band, and I'd pull it out my sleeve. So I would just walk around and record that way. Like when I went into the pawn shop and I did cab drivers, that way I recorded about 700-800 cab drivers.
Do away with your parking lots in Midtown from 14th Street to 59th Street. No parking allowed in the daytime, only after 6 o'clock.
I had recorded the songs on jukeboxes in the restaurants or bars I catered to the various groups around my postal zone. What I would do is get people in the restaurant who spoke English to come over and translate it for me.
The country in which I was born is suffering many, many bad economic things. Even though I'll feel terrible there, in my country there are always flowers. That is my paradise. I won't change Puerto Rico by 60 New Yorks. I won't change Puerto Rican chickens by frozen chickens in the ice boxes here.
This is Max Nichols of Pietermaritzburg, Natal, South Africa, calling Tony Schwartz of New York, USA.
Hello, Tony Schwartz. I'm bringing you greetings from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
This is a Greek folk song from island of Creta.
Hello, Tony. My name is Thomas Knott, and I come from Killarney, County Kerry, Ireland.
When I got my first wire recorder, I asked the company if they would give me the guarantee slips from people from all over the world and all over this country who bought the recorders, who said they were buying them because of their interest in music. And I would exchange wires with people in other countries who were interested in folk music, and they would send me material from their countries.
My name is Tony Schwartz. The music you hear is a Peruvian Indian playing his guitar on a quiet summer evening. This is one of 15,000 recordings I've collected. Recordings of folk music and folklore. Recordings I've exchanged with people all over the world.
Hello, Tony. I received your letter here the other day. Well, I'm going to send you a wire now. This stuff that I generally do, you know, singing the cowboy stuff. I don't know if you fellas in New York City appreciate this kind of music. We folks around here do this hillbilly stuff.
That's how it started. Recordings came in from all parts of the United States, from all parts of the world. Recordings on wire, recordings on tape. One of my exchanges was with a man who wanted sounds he no longer heard.
Tony, I wonder if you'd do me a favor. I live out in the country, and originally I came from the city, and I kind of miss it. And I was wondering if you would record some sounds of the city and send them out to me. I'd really like to hear it. How about it?
Part of my answer was recorded in Times Square.
What's going on right out? Chinatown, Loney, all Greenwich Village and the bar. The Empire State...
A week later, I found this in my mailbox.
Tony, I received your sounds of the city this morning, and I've been playing them ever since. I noticed that you said that you recorded them about 8:30 at night. To sort of reciprocate, here's the sounds of my country, 8:30 at night.
The voices and music of the world came into my apartment in New York City, and I traveled no further than my mailbox. 10, 15,
15, 15, 15, 15, in people 15, talking, 15, there's an innate musicality in the way certain people speak. And also in the barkers at nightclubs or various places. The sound of selling used to be the people, vendors going by in the street, or people singing in the backyard or shouting in the backyard. Now it's over the radio or television. I did a whole record on the sound of selling. Vegetable men shouting, apples, apples, on the street, with that horse and wagon selling vegetables.
My mule is white, my charcoal is black. I sells my charcoal.
There were men who would go around buying old clothes, and they'd yell, I cash clothes, I cash clothes.
Charcoal.
I did a radio program on sound once a week on WNYC for over 35 years. I would do it on any subject that came up to me during the week. How did I come to these ideas? Just from being human and working with sound and knowing how sound affected me and affected other people.
Here lies Tony Cherney. Once a pet turtle of Daryl Cherney, died February 24, 1964.
Who died?
My turtle, Tony. He got a sore shell and he tried to save him by giving him hamburger, but he died, and we're going to bury him.
How do you feel about it?
Not too well. Sort of a tragedy for me. I'm going to play taps, and the flag is because I like him. Just like the President of the United States when he died, except, but he's like in my family.
Okay.
Give me the turtle. Why?
Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue.
Can a baby feel blue?
Anybody can feel blue. All your fears are foolish fancies, maybe.
Well, I was born at the beginning of time. Time magazine
started the year I was born. Harry Belafonte was a bop singer when I met him. I got him into the Jamaican songs.
This is another working song. It is the banana loading song. Day oh, day oh, day da light a me wan go home.
I met a woman who was a cashier at Macy's, and her name was Louise Bennett, and she knew all the Jamaican folklore. And I played those songs to Harry Belafonte. I got from a nightclub in Africa songs like Waymaway, remember that? And Everybody Loves Saturday Night. Waymaway I gave to the Weavers. And Everybody Loves Saturday Night I gave to, what's his name? He owns a casino in Atlantic City. He used to be a singer. He also, I watched Jeopardy on television. You ever watch that? And who was the guy that is the funder of it? Merv Griffin. I gave him Everybody Loves Saturday Night.
Schlaf, mein Kind, schlaf, kisside.
Good morning. Today, I'd like to play two beautiful songs sung by Paul Robeson.
I think he was one of the great singers of our time. And in the McCarthy era, Robeson couldn't travel because they called him a communist, which is ridiculous. He wasn't a communist. He just believed in internationalism. He wanted to send tapes to various places around the world. One I did to send to England for a speech for him. It was about peace, so I had his song behind it. Then I had his narration over that.
Peace and friendship with our great wartime ally, and enduring peace growing out of United Nations, out of friendship with the Soviet people. And the
I
people
did it
the
for many people who couldn't travel, for W.E.B. Du Bois. I would record speeches that he wanted to give in South Africa.
Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois of New York, writer and president of the Pan-African Congress, to the peoples of Africa, greeting.
Then when the Hollywood 10 were supposed to go to jail for being un-American, and many of them had made movies that I loved,
the alleged infiltration of communism in the moving picture industry,
I recorded all of them the night before they went to jail. Dalton Trumbo telling what he was accused of.
How did they treat you in front of this committee? I mean,
the committee was anti-Semitic, anti-labor, anti-Negro, pro-war, and had been denounced by everyone from Roosevelt down over
the ridiculousness of this McCarthy era. You know, he started the whole thing of loyalty oaths. Most people think of evil as the sounds of gunfire or thunder or lightning or something.
You, as a witness, if you conduct yourself like
I found and believe that the most evil sounds in the world are the sounds out of mouths of people.
How much more of life burden can I bear?
I've used media to shame people into proper behavior. In primitive cultures, if someone did something shameful and word of mouth got around the village in an hour or so, in our culture, the same thing exists. But if you divide the distance of our country into the speed of sound, you find it would take a 64th of a second to reach across the country by telephone, radio, television, or anything like that. I did a commercial with the Pope against nuclear weapons. I've been against nuclear weapons since 1939. One thing I've done was the Daisy spot for President Johnson. I was working on sound for six or seven commercials in the campaign against Barry Goldwater. One of them was a little girl counting down and picking the petals off a daisy. Then there's the countdown. And then the bomb goes off.
These are the stakes. To make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other, or we must die.
What would you say to young people who smoke?
I would say that they're very foolish even to consider it. I had to have my voice box removed. I have an hole in my throat. That's what I
teach a course for NYU. I also teach media and public health at Harvard. Both places come here. I have agoraphobia. I don't travel. I'm not able to travel. I have used the telephone to teach all over the world, in Sweden, in Japan, South America, Australia. My brother built a one-tube radio, which never worked, and I used to go up in the attic and play a spaceship like Jack Armstrong. I was also interested in physics, and the physics teacher was interested in amateur radio, and I first built my own receivers and huge 20-meter antennas, and I built my own little shack where I had 16 by 16, and I had my radio station in the front, my bed in the back, and I ran a telephone line up to the house so my mother could call me in for supper. I made up shortwave listener cards. I speak to them on the radio, and I would tell them how they're coming in. I think the most important thing we can work on in communication is to make the world safer for the people who live in it. People, that's what I was most interested in. People and their life and what they do.
He'll leave you me as long as you live, and may you live as long as you wish. And don't forget all the money that you spend with me goes to a good cause. Because my wife wants money, the butcher, the baker, everybody wants money. Look at this, you can write Yiddish, you can write English, you can print, you can sketch.
This reflection on Tony Schwartz was produced by Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, the Kitchen Sisters. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by me. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson, more engineering help from Zach Marsh, and editorial assistance from Gina Gaspar. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to our program and find free transcripts at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there or email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. Bob Garfield will be back next week. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.